are going to talk about the future here on 882 6BR. In fact, let's do that. Let's do that right now with let's start at the beginning. It's 2016, correct? And this year we're going to see, well, we'll see an Australian federal election. We're not sure when, but we will see one. It's a leap year. It's a Summer Olympics in Brazil. There are so many things happening. But before you get your mind about how those events are going to impact on you in 2016, get ready to strap yourself in for the next part of the program, because our guest is going to inspire us with the infinite opportunities that the future 12 months and beyond have to offer us. There is a lot of things that are going to change in our world and the way that we interact with those things. Business futurist and transformation provocateur Maurice Mizalowski joins us on the show with an insight into our future and the opportunities and changes that are headed our way. Michael, hello to you.
Welcome to the future, Chrissy.
Oh, it is indeed.
It is incredible. 2016 already.
Tell us what you do, first of all. What is a business futurist? How did you get into this role?
So my role as a business futurist is to try and figure out what's next and after next. And I work between now and about 2060 is my furthest horizon. For me, I work mostly in the business space. For my clients, they want to understand what the world might be when they get there, so that they can plan their people, their logistics, their products, their services, and their thinking accordingly. And how I got there is really a journey for me over 3 decades of being a business strategist, thinking forward. And the work around business futurism is an academia course. It actually works right through the doctorate. So there's a science behind it as well as an art.
Okay. Let's start with the toy, sir. Now we know what you are and what your qualifications are. You're obviously scouring the world for new and exciting developments, I believe, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Both physically and virtually.
Physically. We're talking about virtual reality and augmented reality. Are they reality now?
Yeah, they absolutely are. And if we're looking into the future, let's talk about this year's Christmas stocking stuffers.
2016.
Isn't it incredible? A week out and we can already talk about what's going to be in them. Now, virtual reality is where we put a headset on, much like a crash helmet perhaps, and what happens is in that visor it makes the world disappear, the physical world, and it replaces it with the digital world. We've seen it in our science fiction, we've seen pilots be trained in larger cockpits which are virtual, we've seen kids play in them, but this year is the year that you and I begin to be able to buy those headsets.
How much for?
all of the major manufacturers, so we're talking Sony, Microsoft, Oculus Rift, Samsung, all of them are talking about this year, first half, and the vast majority, 80% of them, are sub-$450 US.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're quite inexpensive. Now, we need to remember that this is a technology in its infancy. It's only just begun. So it's not going to be absolutely perfect. Its incarnation 4 or 5 years from now will be a much better product. But I've already used virtual reality for the last few years, and many people have. Putting on this helmet, getting rid of the real world, I've literally flown across deserts, I've gone deep sea diving, I've landed on Mars, I've flown inside the human brain and been taken on a tour by a medical team. It's quite extraordinary. What it does is to give us experiences that we couldn't otherwise have. It takes knowledge, words, things that we might be able to read about, and puts us into a virtual space, which for those people that are Star Trek fans or something is like the holodeck almost. It just takes you there. And psychologically, we know that the brain is fooled very quickly into believing it's real.
Wow. Okay, and we'll be able to do that in the first half of...
Well, we'll be able to start to do that. It'll probably come out with its most purpose being around gaming. No surprise. So the games lend themselves beautifully to that. And then over the next months and years, we'll find them being used in more ordinary spaces.
Now, one question for you, Michael. Does it have a lithium battery? And if Russell Crowe buys one for his children, will he have issues getting it on the aeroplane?
Look, my answer to that is if he has one, I'm not sure I want one. So it doesn't matter what battery he would have.
Okay, we're talking about getting around and those little hoverboards that cause that issue. Ambient technology.
Yeah, for me this is the overall point of where we're headed with technology. We've spent the last 25 years buying toys, being really excited about the box and the way it looks, and buying a mobile phone, and it was the form factor that was very, very important. What's starting to happen is that the form factor is really less important, and it's the end use that we really care about. And I think it's akin to when, not that I remember, although my kids think I do, when gas and electricity came in. We were really excited about the invention of it, and I suppose turned switches on and off, but very soon it became, who cares, it's just there, what can we do with it? And that's where we're headed now. Ambient technology is really that reality, more interested in making this thing useful and purposeful. Of course it's there, it's not going anywhere.
Okay, all right. I just got slightly distracted there by my ambient technology just to the left-hand side of me, believe it or not. And I was thinking to myself, though, you're quite right, because when I got my phone, it was what colour, what size, blah, 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 but it's what it can do, what it can do for
it
you.
It really has become that, and we're also in this space beginning to not care as much about websites. Apps are slowly going to disappear.
No.
Yeah, isn't it incredible? Now, the reason for that is this is a futurist conversation, so this is not next week,
but if
we think about it, again, we don't really want to press on an app and figure out what that app did and how to make it work. What we want is for the app to actually understand what we're doing and to say, look, I'm the appropriate app to use now. Why don't you do this, that, and the other with me? So, and that's what we're finding. Google Now is a really good example. It's free. It's available on Android. Apple has equivalent. What it does with your absolute permission, it can't do it unless you allow it to, is to follow you digitally every day, to look at your diary, your internet searches and other things, and from that assume what you might need, and in advance of you needing it, putting up on the screen for you to use if you want.
Wow. Facebook kind of does a similar thing to that by putting the ads and everything out. I think, how do you know I need a new Rashi or whatever? And up comes the ads. I think, oh, you've been following my searches.
Almost like it's stalking you.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I'm that keen on that.
And I'm not sure we need to be. Now, with technology, we often think because it is, we have to, and that's not a good space to be. We're capable of doing these things. We have to decide as humans individually and as society broader if they're things we want to have. I'm fairly convinced this kind of thing will be part of our landscape. I suppose, and I know I'm the only one who's terribly selfish and loves people to do things for me.
Yeah.
It makes my life easier when I work in this kind of ambient way, which is possible now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm supposing for many people they might find that as well. But we do need to remember that there is an off switch.
There is. That is correct. Well, let's hope the machines never develop a way of getting around that. We've seen how that ends up.
Yes. Well, we haven't with Schwarzenegger. I'm hoping that that's not a world we'll see for real.
And look, our phone not just telling us, you know, premeditating what it is that we need. I've seen ads recently about using your phone to get cash, etc. Is this going to become more commonplace?
Yeah, it is. Especially in Australia, we're so far advanced, we take it for granted. In America, I was talking to one of my clients over there, and they're still working on technology that takes pictures of checks. So you're able to take a picture of your check from your app instead of having to go into the bank. In Australia, we've come so far and been so comfortable that I'd say many of our listeners, me especially, have no idea where the checkbook is. And we carry a minimal amount of cash, and we're using plastic, maybe debit card, not so much credit. And this year we're going to see the great war of moving away from all of that and having it inside of our mobile phone. And using our mobile phone like a wand, a magic wand that we wave over, and it will automatically do the transaction for us. And this is going to be the big change around this. It's not being pushed by the banks as much, it's being pushed by third-party providers like Google and Apple.
Why is that?
Because they have the technology. They've got the Apple phone that many, many people have, and the Android, which is the other big ecosystem. And because most people have one or the other of those systems, it makes sense for them to provide the software that makes the transaction happen. And why they want to get involved is because they're going to start making money out of it. They'll get literally cents in the dollar or less by that transaction. But if you can imagine the volume, there's a whole new business in there for them.
Oh, look, Morris, I could talk to you for ages about this, but unfortunately I should have ducked out and done something else in 2 minutes ago, according to my producer. So give me one last one, though, because I was looking through your list and the personal assistant really interested me.
Yeah.
We're talking about robots.
So let's have a quick look at that. So what we're seeing this year, again, this is the stocking stuffer for the end of the year, is that for the first time in retail, we're going to be able to buy robots. Now, let's get away from the androids and human-type things. These are just little machines that have the ability to talk, like a Siri-type device, a little bit more intelligent than that, who know what you are. And you can carry on a minimal conversation, but more importantly, they can read your emails, SMSs, make some basic assumptions about you. One of the really most interesting ones for me, type into a search engine J-I-B-O, which is Jibo, and that's a really cute little piece. That'll be available in the first quarter, the first half of this year, again under $2,000, and there are a whole host of them. They're called Pepper and Furo and Cubic. They're all sorts of cute little names, but they're all these kind of intermediaries. This is the first year we'll see them in retail. Give it a couple of years to cook and become purposeful, and I'd suggest many of us, like a mobile phone, might have one of these little creatures.
I love your optimism. Morris, thanks so much for coming on the program today.
A pleasure. An extraordinary 2016 as well.
Cheers to you too. Morris Mizalaski, our business futurist here on 882 6PR. And if you'd like to catch up with him and the amazing way that he sees the future of our world,